Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
This magic moment, so different and so new, was like any other until I kissed you. And then it happened. Hey, Brian Beebe here. We're live on Facebook, and we're streaming on live stream. No, we're not streaming on live stream, are we? Yeah, on madisontalks.com. And this is my kind of regular Wednesday 2 o'clock spot, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill in 6 locations all over Wisconsin, and by Sorrento's at the Wilderness. Up in Wisconsin Dells, a fabulous Italian restaurant with a beautiful bar area with music 5 nights a week. I play 4 nights a week. No, it's a 6 nights a week they have music now. Monday, Tuesday are 2 other guys, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Brian Beebe plays at 7 p.m., and you can sit right at the bar and have your dinner, or Thursdays and Sundays, it's half-price appetizers. You can have your a beautiful salmon hors d'oeuvres, your bruschetta, your stuffed shrimp. These are not mozzarella sticks kind of, or you know, appetizers, but appetizers at the bar. And then listen to some music at the same time. You're only a few feet away from me. We can gab. You can request songs, and then still be home in Madison by 9:30, 10 o'clock. So there's no excuse. So anyway, today, the number here I would like you to call in is 608-210-1667. We can talk about anything you feel like, but I've kind of planned to talk a little bit about Mother's Day, and my mother was a child of the Depression, and so that's going to talk. We're going to talk a little bit about parents of my parents' age and your grandparents, if you're a little younger, and the things that they lived through and brought to your family from the Depression era. Then we're also going to talk about. I heard Mitch Hank talking about. I want to talk a little bit about Mitch Hank today, too. But he mentioned something on his couple of shows ago about the day the music died. Well, I'm not going to talk about Buddy Holly. I'm not intentionally, anyway. But I am going to talk about how music seems to have gone away. Live music has taken a back seat to a number of things in the last few years. In the bars, and we just wanted to kind of look at the idea of why, and I'm going to stop doing this here pretty soon. I'm wiggling. I must be nervous, but talk about why there are fewer bars, maybe just fewer bars in general, but fewer bars that have music now, and the reasons for those things. So we're going to come around to some good things and bad things about live music. Anyway, here's a big smile. I want to talk about Mitch Hank, too. Mitch Hank is a podcaster on madisontalks.com as well. He does a couple hours every day, 5 days a week. I just do 1 hour one time a week. But this guy can talk about anything from Sinatra and his over-the-top love of what that guy does, and politics. Today he talked about the firing of James Comey. Yesterday was Sally Yates. I mean, the guy can, and he takes both sides of every issue. I mean, he used to be a Democrat. He says he evolved into being a Republican. But anyway, you should listen to Mitch Hank's podcast on madisontalks.com. Or between 8 and 10 in the morning, they stream live on Facebook. And then he's also started to do an interesting sort of thing I wanted to bring to your attention. You can call Mitch Hank or email him. And then you can get your grandfather, grandmother, great aunt, whoever is the elder statesman of your family, and do a broadcast, make a CD or an MP3
yep.
thing forever of an interview with your grandmother, grandfather, whatever, and keep that forever for a record for your family. It's not like grandparents write paper letters anymore. Everything's done on Skype and on Facebook and on email. So where are the records of your family and how things went in the old days? You can have that recorded for not very much money and keep it forever. It's called The Story of Your Life, and it's Mitch Hank's project. Should I give Mitch's number? He usually does. You can call 608-347-0374 and ask for Mitch and get that set up. I want to talk a little bit about Mother's Day. And I just mentioned grandmothers. Do you know, my grandma was tough, Mike. She buried three husbands, and two of them were just napping. Yeah, so I had a couple of different grandmothers. I don't know if you know this, but people usually have two. And there's one from my father's side of the family was a quite different sort of a person from my the grandmother on my mother's sort of side of the family. But grandmothers are people who love their grandchildren unconditionally in spite of the fact that they're raised all wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
You raised them all wrong, but they're still perfect in grandma's eyes. I got some Mother's Day stories and Mother's Day jokes. A little kid told me this one at Sorrento's one night. He said, what dance do mothers do? The mambo. Yeah, you know, the mambo. Isn't that? I know it's dumb, but I like it. My mother was a child of the Depression. She grew up basically alone because her siblings were much older than she was. In a farm atmosphere in Iowa, her dad was a sharecropper, and boy, life was tough. They didn't know much about the good life. Everybody, though, in the Depression era was broke and kind of in the same boat. So it got a little easier because nobody saw the good life, and they just made do. Did somebody call in?
Yeah, we have George on the phone.
George? Let's talk to George for a minute. Hello, George.
Hey, Mitch, Brian.
Yes.
Hey, George, it's Brian. Mitch was on earlier today. I know you called him, too.
Yeah, I've never called you, but
you
this
never
is
have.
Just wonderful. No, I've never called you.
No, I know.
I just wanted to tell you and tell everybody, man, I'm telling everybody about what a great show you do at that Sorrento's club. It was tremendous. You look like an old Beach Boy. You remind me of Mike Love. You got the blonde and the tan going and the Hawaiian shirt, the tropical shirt. So relaxed, and they have great appetizers and just sit around there. I met the Big Bopper. Who was
yeah.
singing with you? You and him were jamming.
Oh, yeah, that
man.
Was.
I can't wait to get back up there with the family and friends and the whole crowd. What a hoot.
Wow, George, you're excited. By the way,
yeah, you were awesome. I loved it.
The tan that you saw was high blood pressure. Okay, it was a trick of the lights, basically. It was very red. It wasn't tan. But anyway, it was nice to have you show up. What were you doing up there? You had a convention at the Kalahari or something?
Yeah, at the Kalahari, and I was done. And so then I thought, oh, I'm not ready to just crash yet. And then I remembered, bingo, the light went off, and I thought, oh, Brian, at Sorrento's, I stopped in and have a nightcap. And it was just praise God. Bill says, you never know how things work out. I'll never want to miss you every week now.
Oh, like, my God. Well, yeah, Mitch would say, let's start picking out the furniture. No, it was nice to have you there, and you had more than one nightcap, just so the way I remember it.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
And you bought one for the Big Bopper, and you bought one for me. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I sent you a scotch, you know, so I didn't
It was a scotch.
Hopefully it'll be the first of many, Brian, because I can't wait to get the kids and wife up there.
Oh, that's terrific. They don't actually put scotch in my glass. It's some sort of, they get it from underneath the bar. It's a cleaning product of some kind, like, janitor in a drum or one of those things.
When I go to a gentleman's club, when I buy the nice entertainers there a drink, I don't think they put real booze in them either. You know?
No, well, actually, the Drano or whatever they put in my drink is worse than actual alcohol.
You got a great voice, though, and you knew every Big Bopper. Well, this guy knows every lyric. It was incredibly fun.
The Big Bopper was there, but we should explain that his name is Eric, and he plays the Big Bopper in the show across the street at the Palace Theater. They're doing the Buddy Holly story till the 21st, and they do a heck of a job. I mean, he's kind of outstanding in it because he plays two or three different parts. But, yeah, and he's funny. But they got a great guy playing Buddy Holly, and they got a fabulous what's his name that did
Richie
Valens. They got that guy's just all over the room and dancing and shaking, and yeah, that's a heck of a thing. Well, it was really nice that you popped in there, man.
Yeah, well, that was fun. You never know. It's just like, you're like, so now you got me on your ankle like Mitch does. That is like a pitbull on your ankle now. You'll have to get rid of me now.
Well, yeah, I remember singing a lot of Tony Bennett for you, and that makes Mitch mad, you know, because he thinks that Tony Bennett's he's a big Sinatra guy and thinks Tony Bennett is kind of, you know, over the top operatic kind of a singer, you know, with no real
style. I met Tony Bennett once.
You what?
I met Tony at the O'Hare Airport. He wasn't very nice to me. I went over. I saw him. He was just by himself.
Yeah.
Just at a coffee stand, Brian, with his briefcase and his suit, black suit, and my wife, and we looked and we said, I think that's Tony Bennett. So I went over when he was getting his coffee, and I said, are you him? And he said, and he just was rude. He was just like, yeah, so, like, leave me alone type. He was not nice to me as a fan at all.
Well, you must have said something wrong, because he's a nice guy. You must have said something wrong. Because I got a friend who drove him when he played in Sarasota at the at the Van Wezel Performing Arts Center. He stayed at the Marriott there, and a friend of mine drove the limo from the hotel to and it was just him and Tony in the car, and Tony could have just blew him off, but he started talking to Tony, and Tony actually was singing him a couple songs on the way over. I mean, he's a super nice guy. I don't know what you said to him.
Maybe he just doesn't like somebody coming out of the blue. Like my daughter said, Steve Martin was like that to her. She met him in Chicago somewhere, and he was sort of aloof too. I mean, some of them big stars just don't like regular people.
Well, I think they get tired of not being able to be anywhere out and not be bothered. You know what I mean? But in an airport, you would think he'd be ready for just about anything like that. I mean. And he's standing
I was at a coffee stand. You know how them coffee stands are in O'Hare? And so I thought, I should have bought him his coffee. I was stupid. Maybe I would have been nice. Anyway, but listen, I know you're busy, but I just had to call and tell you how wonderful you are. Very talented.
You're too nice.
Man.
It was all smoke and mirrors.
Just the truth. I won't call it. If I don't tell the truth, I don't say nothing, right? You know, so there you go.
Well, and you know, it was all an accident, but I appreciate you being there, and call back anytime.
Well, everybody was having such a good time. That couple behind was dancing to your music, and then some girls came in and were having a great time, and in and out. The interaction was so comfortable, and the meatballs, appetizers, everything was so, the warmth in that place just oozes. You could feel the comfort and the class. And you added to that. It starts with you, I think, because you're the draw in there, the way you're sitting right in that corner of that bar. No, it was really a neat place. I don't know if there's any place like that in Madison.
I think there used to be. Remember, there used to be a piano bar at out there, Park Street and the Beltline. There was a Mayflower Motel or something like that. That had a great piano bar. A long, long time ago. But where do you go now? The Ivory Room Piano Bar has a couple of guys playing. That's at Mifflin in the Square, Mifflin Street in the Square. But it's not like, I don't know, it's just not old-fashioned-y like what I do, you know?
Well, your place, your whole deal reminded me, I told my wife, and I took a video of you, and she says, oh, my God, it's like being on a cruise ship. We interacted in a comfortable, it was so comfortable. I mean, that totally, everything about, I would say about you, it's take it the right way, it's all complimentary, because it's like, oh, my God, you just reminded me of a beach boy. You look like a beach boy,
terrific.
Michael Love or something, you know?
I like the Beach Boys. We did some Beach Boys songs that night. I don't know if you asked for them or somebody did.
You did Andy Williams' Moon River for me.
Oh, that's right. One of my favorites, man. Moon River, wider than a mile. Thanks, George, and thanks for all the kind words, man.
See you, buddy.
All right. That was interesting. He can talk about something other than the politics that he usually talks about with Mitch. That guy's got a lot of energy, huh?
Oh, yeah, George. George.
All right, we're going to go to our first break here. And we come back, we're going to talk about some of the reasons that you don't get to hear piano bar music and stuff like you used to 40 years ago. Anyway, it's Brian Beebe on MadisonTalks.com. We'll be right back.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Well, yeah, all right, oh yeah, everything gonna be all right this morning. You hardcore, maybe Illinois musicians might know what that song is. The Shadows of Night's second hit. Oh, yeah, everything gonna be all right this morning. Da, 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 da. Hey, a little bit more about Mom. Mother's Day is coming up this Sunday. I wanted to tell you a little bit about my parents, my mom. I remember they sat me down once when I was a teenager and said, Brian, we just want to make you happy. So I threw them out of the house. And then everything was, my mother, when I get her on the phone, likes to tell me about her day in real time.
Yeah.
Every single. And I wanted to tell you, she is a little bit on the morbid side, Mike. She reads the obituaries in the paper every day, you know.
Okay, yeah.
And then she goes to the phone book and crosses out their names.
Oh, well.
I mean, is that morbid or what? So now the information, when you call 411 on the phone, they call her to find out whose numbers are still current, you know. I mean, it's...
I'll rimshot that very, one, because that's crazy.
Very morbid, yep. All right. Yeah, none of that's crazy. True. None of that's true. Is somebody on the phone?
Yeah, you bet.
Who?
Paul.
Paul? Hello, Paul.
Hey, Brian.
Paul?
That's the old hippie.
Hey, Paul. How are you? The old hippie, man. Yeah, we're going to... Yeah, I haven't seen you for a while, man. Where, you, hey, has the wife...
It's been a little bit.
Has the wife forbidden you to go out now, or what?
Well, you know, I've been busy with the dogs, though, and show times with the dogs, so... getting ready to come up and visit you again, and we'll be, you know, but I had a few minutes. I had to call up and say hello and tell you, you know, you're doing a great job here on these podcasts. Yeah. Every time I get a chance, I've been listening to them. And,
I've only done like 15 of them, and you never called yet. So, I mean, it's about time. Hey,
Paul, you know, usually I'm in a meeting or something like that in the afternoon.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You don't have anything much to do. Paul and his beautiful wife have not show dogs. They're pulling dogs, and they go to these competitions where they're huskies and Malamutes.
No, right? No, they're not huskies,
what
Brian.
What are they?
They're Alaskan Malamutes.
Malamutes, and they pull these huge weights, and the one that can pull the most weight the farthest wins, and it's... It's unbelievable to watch these powerful dogs and how they've been trained. But also, Paul is a I call him the old hippie because when the first time I saw him years ago when he came to Sorrento's, he looked like an old hippie. He had the little bit long hair, a little bit graying, and I just instantly assumed that he wanted to hear. Got on board a westbound 747. It never rains in California. And the mamas and the papas. What else? And I'm not even sure he really does like that music, but I always played Crosby, Stills, and Nash and the hippie music for you. Oh.
I love all that.
I know.
But what did I ask for, Brian?
That was the stuff. Yeah. Yeah, it was the stuff.
But what did I ask for that night?
Oh, God.
Threw you for a loop on that one because I asked you for Nat King Cole.
Yeah. And I love Nat King Cole, but you sure didn't look like the typical Nat King Cole fan. Anyway, we're talking a little bit today, Paul, about, and you can help us. I just stepped on my cord and blew out my phones. Anyway, we're talking a little bit about these. I call it the day the music died, but why is there no live music in most of the bars you go to where there used to be live music? You can remember, Paul, the old days when every Holiday Inn and every Ramada Inn had a band 5-6 nights a week. I was talking to another Paul last week, and he was in one of those bands, and he said he had 5 different tuxedos, you know, in his closet, and one had the crushed red velvet, you know, I mean, and these guys wore matching suits. Do you remember that? And they played.
Oh, yeah.
And they played in the lounges of these Ramadas and Holiday Inns and Marriotts, 5-6 nights a week. Well. That doesn't happen anymore. Is it the economy?
You know what it was?
What?
Disco killed it. And the DJs, you know, I mean, it was easier for them to bring in one guy that spun records than a whole band. That's, you know, I had buddies and friends that were in bands. And, you know, I mean, we bar hopped on weekends from one bar to another just to go listen to live bands. And,
yeah.
You know.
Well, I sure understand that because, and you know what, I did that too when I lived in Florida. When I first moved to Florida, I I only worked 5 to 8 p.m., 5 days a week at this Hilton on the Gulf. It was the greatest job I ever had, one of the greatest jobs I ever had. Sorrento's is the greatest job. But anyway, I was able to get back to St. Pete where I lived by 9, and my friends and I would go out and hear every band we could. Do you know what I mean? That's the only time of my life, really, though, where I could actually hear bands because they all played the same time I did. If you play Friday and Saturday nights like I have my whole life, but anyway, and there was an active music scene back there in St. Pete, Tampa, in the early '80s. But yeah, I know and this is a little bit before karaoke. See, karaoke came along and killed a lot of that. And I will I'll talk about that some too. But do you remember last week we talked about local bands that you liked or didn't like? Do you remember a particularly great local band that you grew up kind of adoring?
Oh,
or,
man, there were so many of them. Well, local around, I'm from the Pewaukee area.
Yeah. That's where all the money
is. One of the local bands.
That's where all the rich people are, by the way. That's where all the money is, Pewaukee. Right. keep going.
Pegasus, and then there was Moore's Creek. Those were a couple of the local bands around our area down here.
They were good, or they were?
Oh, they were awesome bands.
Yeah.
You know, people that I knew growing up in high school, did you ever hear of the Bloomsbury People?
No.
That was another...
when you were in high school, I was still in diapers, by the way.
Probably, Brian, yeah.
So I couldn't possibly have heard the same bands as you, because I'm much much younger than you.
Yeah, the Big Bop, not the Big Bopper, the White Raven.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Bop.
Which was...
Bop and the Headliners,
Dr. Bop and the White Raven?
Headliners, and they had a girl in their band later on, too. I can't remember her name. It started with M, but they were fabulous. And I remember these bands tried a little harder than bands do now. Do you happen to remember that Dr. Bop was, a big draw, and he could command some money, but I remember him playing at a place up in the Dells called the Purple Haze years ago. And wherever he played, he brought a little patio set with him, and chairs and an umbrella and a table, and VIPs for the evening or whatever would be able to go up and sit at the patio set next to on the stage or next to the stage,
Awesome.
Do you remember that, Paul?
Oh, yeah.
And Dr. Bop was the drummer, and he never stopped laughing and smiling and had sunglasses on, so he's probably stoned, but who cares? It was fun. Dr. Bop and the Headliners, man.
You know, another one down by us down here was L. Ray and the Nightbeats.
L as in E L Ray?
Right. L Ray and the Nightbeats.
L Ray is the sun, right? That's Spanish for the sun. L Ray.
Right, yeah. I don't know if they're still playing somewhat, but L Ray he just retired a couple of years ago, and these are people I knew with, a couple of guys that Holly worked with, were in the band, and I mean, they have big followers wherever they went in the area around here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you got plans for Mother's Day? What's going on?
Let's see, Mother's Day. I'm gonna. Josh and I, my son, we're gonna take Holly out for brunch for Mother's Day.
Mother's Day brunch, typical.
Yeah.
Get her hammered on mimosas and. And then take her home.
That's right.
take advantage of her. I know how you operate. Yeah. So that's
something different than Southern Comforts.
Yeah. Well, you need those too. So there's no point in you avoiding that anymore, because that's, we come on up and we'll do some more. I'll dig out some new. How about, do I do this one for you? I'll light the fire. You place the flowers in the vase that you bought today. That's a real hippie song.
That's a good one. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get you to learn some Mason Prophet.
That's hippie one. Music, man. We used to do a couple of Mason Prophet songs.
And then some John Prine.
Oh, well, you know, I'm a little down on John Prine for some reason. It's that one song that he does about, there's a hole in daddy's arm where the money goes. I mean, it's just, people who do sing John Prine songs, well, maybe they hate that one, but it all comes out kind of depressing. And, you know, for me, and this is one of the things I wanted to talk about with live music, when bands or solo artists or whatever it is play music that requires that people listen and pay attention to the words, let's just say they sit down to play and that instantly cuts their energy in half. But how do you, and they, what if they make the people listen? What if they, are mad when the people don't listen? That's just not going to work for the bar owner or for the entertainer. You have to be a little bit fun, don't you? A little bit entertaining.
Oh, yeah. That's what keeps you so popular. You're singing away all night long and you're throwing jokes and, talking to the people and... that's what makes you keep going.
I didn't say that so you would throw that at me. No, come on. You go out and hear other groups. You know, I mean, what makes them work and what makes them don't work? Because I
think I lost you, Brian.
You did? Oh, maybe it's your phone. Call back, man. Anyway, I remember being in a band when are we still on, man? Being in a band when I was a young man. I had my own bar when I was 22 years old, and I put together a band because I hired bands the first year, and they were expensive. And geez, I did get drunk and give the house away most of the time, and let everybody in when there was a cover. You didn't get anything from the door, but the second year I ran that bar, I decided I would hire a bass player and a drummer, and play myself. And so we had a band 6 nights a week for what amounted to $500 a week. I gave those guys $250 a week back in the 70s.
Awesome.
But then I tried to get down to Madison. I tried to take that band and crack the Madison market. And I remember standing in the office with the owner of the place called The Rafters, which is was on Regent Street, and I think it's now the Regent Street Retreat. It's a big place. Or it was Regent Street. I don't know what it is now. Something else. But I remember standing in that guy's office and waiting the whole morning to get him to say we could play one off night for free. It just was so tough to get started down here. I'll never forget that. I waited all day to get a job for the band. And he said to us, are you two guitars, bass and drums? Like it was an insult, mm-hmm. You know. Yes, we are. You know, so how could we possibly be any good, you know?
Right.
That's what the impression he gave. Anyway, so we did play that night for free, and we did play the Crystal Corner, but it seems like both times we had equipment problems, and our guitar player had a broken leg. He was sitting down with a cast on. We could not do as well as we wanted to. But still, I thought we brought a little bit more to the equation than a lot of the bar bands do. If you go, generally, if you go to a bar and hear a four-piece band, they probably have been together just a matter of weeks, and they have, 30, 40 songs that they know. And so it's not going to be as good as bands that really stick together and work on it for years on end. But they can't do that in modern economy because it doesn't pay good. You really have to be playing for the love of it. The bands, as far as I know, bands still make the same amount of money that they made 30 years ago.
Not much.
Not very much. And karaoke took over. I want to talk about karaoke a little bit. But Mike has a story about his trip to Ann Arbor. Mike Brockeveld, our tech guru here. MRBAudio.com, by the way, if you have a project for anybody that needs some tech stuff done. Text Mike Brockeveld, mrbaudio.com. Brian Beebe, we'll be back on Madison Talks.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Beebe, Brian Beebe. I like to come in with a song like I'm just singing all the time. I don't know why. I do that, but it kind of puts everybody in a good mood about the show. I don't know. I wanted to tell, it's Mother's Day this Sunday. I like to tell stories about my kind of upbringing when I can. We had a quicksand box when I was a kid. I was an only child eventually. Get it? Quicksand box. This is a story about two brothers. I didn't actually have a brother, but if I did, he went overseas and left his cat with me. Okay, and then he was gone for a while, and he called back and he said, "How's my cat?" And I said, "Well, the cat was up on the roof, and we couldn't get it down, and so we had to call the fire department, and in the end the cat died, and the brother said, "Oh my goodness, you couldn't, that's terrible. You couldn't make up something. You had to tell me that. You could have made up anything, you know, anything. The cat was, you know, we had to call the fire department to get it down. Anyway, forget about all that. How's Mom?" And he said, "Well, let's see. Mom was on the roof. We had to call the fire department." I blew that joke. But anyway, it was pretty funny when I first heard it years ago. Grandma, my mom asked me, this is kind of another a fake brother joke. My mom asked me to hand out invites to my brother's birthday party. That's how I knew he was her favorite twin. He was her favorite. A mom is someone who wants her kids to grow up to be independent as long as they do everything she says. Exactly everything she says. Anyway, we talked about, Mom was on a roof, threw him out of the house. That's it. That's all the Mother's Day jokes I got right now. I told you about the mambo. Anyway, we're back to talking about, I was going to talk about depression babies. My mom was a child of the depression, and how they grew up with practically nothing and how that affected our families as we grew up. But that sounds a little darker than talking about karaoke. I'm going to finish up by talking about karaoke. But first, Mike Brockenveld, our tech guy here, has been to Ann Arbor, Michigan recently. And that's a very, very liberal town. The first place in the world that made marijuana a $5 fine. Did you ever hear that story?
Yep,
sure. You paid a $5 fine if you were caught with marijuana in the city of Ann Arbor. Yeah, you didn't want to smoke marijuana. You could get a ticket for that, you know. So, I mean, but anyway, it's a very liberal town. Had a lot of music in the years past. And Mike was just up there. And what did you find, man?
Yeah, we were hanging out downtown and looking for live music, looking for some bands to see.
Yeah.
And we asked a bunch of the kids there. And they said, and three of them, literally three people said the words, "That's not a thing anymore."
Live music is
live
not a
music.
Thing.
Yeah, it's really sad.
But did you find some?
No.
There wasn't any anywhere downtown.
No, DJs. Anna. DJs now.
DJs. DJs yeah. are cool, though. You ever heard of a DJ, Tess? I'm not going to remember his name, but he filled the call center one time. DJ, and he's like, I think he's a European guy. Mm-hmm. But DJs have modified what they do to the point where it is live entertainment now. People will come. In fact, I remember some Bulgarian kids that I worked with drove to the call center for this huge thing. It was just a DJ.
Yeah.
No band, no nothing. Filled the place up. And but anyway, whatever's entertaining is what makes those bars work. You are in the business, if you're in entertainment like I am, of making people stay a little longer and buy an extra drink or two. You're in the business of making them tell their friends and come back and bring friends because it was that fun and that different. I used to like to say that I was the EST entertainment. Entertainer. If I couldn't be the best entertainer, I was going to be the loudest, the hardest working, the funniest, whatever it could be. It was going to be something, Mike, that if they went home the next day, they weren't able, if somebody asked them, "Where were you last night?" they would never give the answer, "Geez, I can't remember."
Yeah, I like that.
They want to say, I want them to say the next day, "We went and heard this guy. And I can't remember what he played or anything, but he played the whole night. He never took a break. He played, he knew everybody's name. He was like that personable, whatever." They won't be able the next day to say, "Geez, I can't remember where we went," you know. That's what I think the entertainment and entertainers have done. They took that stool and played their guitar and played what they wanted to play so much that people didn't care. They didn't play to the crowds and people. And so they never got asked back, or the place that had them went out of business because they had a series of guys like that. Then you remember when karaoke came along. All of a sudden, $150 karaoke guy, or even 100 at that time, probably when it first started, could replace basically a $300 band.
Exactly.
And people were involved. People were having fun. They handed out the paper books, and you wrote down the song that you wanted to sing, and you brought it up, and you were allowed to sing. Now, at that time, the fun of karaoke, when it first came out, was people getting drunk and getting up there and doing something they wouldn't have done.
Watching everybody bomb.
And watching everybody be terrible and laughing at each other. And then, over time, karaoke became a showcase for these people who wanted to do crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. All the way. That's a karaoke classic. In fact, karaoke brought Patsy Cline back from the dead. Her songs were gone, gone, gone until karaoke came up. And then you find these places with karaoke. And I know that the karaoke host has a lot of pressure. Everybody wants to do their song next. And if you actually go and watch karaoke and listen to it like I do, you notice that karaoke people basically go wherever there's karaoke so they can sing. And they order a soda or iced tea, and it's all night with one drink, waiting for their turn and giving the and they get in good somehow with these karaoke hosts, so they can get their songs in before anybody else. But if you're doing karaoke, if you're running karaoke, and on Saturday night at midnight you got somebody singing, "And now the end is near, and so I'll face the final curtain," you are doing it wrong, man. Karaoke is supposed to be fun. And I guess I got one more segment here. I talked about Mitch Hank. I talked a bit about Mom. I want to talk about a band that I remember. It's from Wisconsin that was playing in Florida. When I get back, we're going to talk about the pubs over in Europe, too, and the music that they don't have, okay? Brian Beebe, Madison Talks. Be right back.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Yep, karaoke contests. I got a... Mitch Hank is here, and he refuses to be on camera, but he reminded me about karaoke contests, which quite often bars will have karaoke regularly, and the winners of that night or whatever will be entered in this contest. And they build it up so that it's once every 2 or 3 months they have the big contest, and everybody that's ever been in the shows, all that guarantees them a crowd. Somebody told me I should do, and I was naive, but I went out to the casino. Ho-Chunk Casino had a big, big karaoke contest. And I and everybody thought I'd do a pretty good Tony Bennett. This is years ago, and I was really pretty good at it. And I went out there in my regular clothes, sneakers and stuff, and found that Elton John actually had a pork pie hat and a shiny purple suit and a fake grand piano that came out with him. And Madonna had the cone bra and was running. People were, I mean, you had to really get, they looked at me like, what in the heck? He doesn't look like Tony Bennett, you know? But that's all part of it, is getting in those big contests where there's big cash prizes. You have to look the part too. And I wanted to tell you about a time that when I was down in Florida, I played professionally. I played for years, you know. And one night, my friend said, you know, they have a contest, a solo entertainer contest at the Crown Lounge. And the $100 first prize, and it's Monday night, so I was off anyway. So I thought, okay, I'll go. It seems like a cinch, you know. I'm a professional entertainer. I do it pretty well. And I go there, and I got something out of it. I got kind of dressed in a uniform. So I was going to do Chuck Berry's No Particular Place to Go, play the guitar and sing. And it got there early, and everybody was milling around. There were people like street people. I mean, homeless guys with guitars that, you know, never hardly played at all. And the band from, I guess, for the weekend was the judge for this thing. And everybody got up there. And and of course, I did my thing. I thought I rocked it, you know. And now we're standing there waiting for the results. And they had prizes for first through fifth place, okay? Oh. All right, we're standing there, my friend and I. Fifth place. No, it's not me. Fourth place, I don't know, bar tab or whatever it was. Third place, not me. Second place, still not me. So now I say to myself, I either won this thing or I didn't even make it into the top five. And these guys are, you know, completely irrelevant as far as players. You know, they just... One of them had to borrow a guitar from the other guy to be in the contest. You know what I mean? So and then I didn't win. Somebody else won, and I thought to myself, boy, I have a lot more to lose than I do to gain by being in these contests. You know, I kind of, it was funny though, standing there waiting, and all of a sudden it's down to the first place. I either won or some homeless guy beat me. Do you know what I mean? So that's what that happened, how that happened. But I wanted to tell you about this band. I talked about bad karaoke. You know, I was in the UK in the 70s a number of times. I played over there in the 80s too. And I remember these pubs over there. Basically, pubs are owned by the breweries and the distilleries. You know, they don't have to be profitable because they only sell that product and they get the real estate and all this stuff. So there are lots of pubs, and they're on every corner, and people from the neighborhood gather there, and they know their neighbors and blah, blah, blah. But I remember seeing this in the 70s and the 80s, and quite a few, not very many of these pubs even had TV sets. They weren't there for entertaining. They were there to let people have a drink, talk to their neighbors. I remember seeing them playing dominoes and checkers and darts and stuff, you know, doing the stuff with their friends. And I remember this one pub that I played in I passed in the 80s. I'd always stop before I went to work and on the way home. And they were all playing darts and playing cards and stuff. And the same people were there when I got done playing, and they were all, I remember they were singing, had their arms around me and singing, "Please release me, let me go." The whole place was singing these songs that they, you know, went from darts and cards and stuff to. All right, there was a band called Truk of America that I want to remember here. They were from Milwaukee. I saw them in St. Petersburg in the old days. And those guys actually changed costumes for every song. They came out, the stage was on the level of the bar, and they would, I don't know, buy a bottle of peppermint schnapps every night and step off the stage onto the bar top and walk down there and just pour everybody a shot. Does that happen anymore? I mean, what is at that time, a bottle of schnapps might have cost-wise $5-6, you know? And how much entertainment value did they get from walking along the bar top and pouring everybody a shot as they walk? I mean, it was a fabulous band that worked hard to entertain. I told you about Mitch's story of your life thing. I told about Mitch's podcasts are so relevant right now because of accusations, fake news, you know, lots of things that are going on that are making people worried, and he has people on the show every day that are taking both sides of these issues and making them clearer. And he moderates and throws his two cents in every day from 8 to 10 a.m. for 2 hours. And we're just a couple minutes away, but thank you for calling in. This is MadisonTalks.com. Call in anytime, 608-210-1667. This podcast, the last hour we've spent, will be archived on MadisonTalks.com 24/7 for the rest of eternity. So you can listen to it again. You can go on my Facebook and look for any Wednesday recently and see the video of these hours. I want to thank Mitch Henk for bringing this whole operation to my attention. and to Mike Brockevelt for all the technical expertise that helps to get it to you. We are brought to you by Muck's Bar and Grill, all six locations in Wisconsin, and Sorrento's at the Wilderness. Brian Beebe Show. We will see you sometime.